You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. The audio platform company SoundCloud hit an impasse in negotiations with three of the world's biggest record labels. SoundCloud wants to bring music from Sony, Universal, and Warner to their platforms. The labels are holding out for more money. Of course, the past 15 years have been rough for the recording industry. The Recording Industry Association of America recently put out their mid-year report. It showed that revenue across the business is down almost 5% from last year. Audiences are getting their music from places like Spotify and Pandora. But in the indie scene, there's hope those numbers can turn around. And that hope revolves around comedy. We turn now to independent producer John Sepulvedo, who's based in Portland, Oregon, with our first story of Going Your Own Way. Hi, John.
Hi, Lizzie.
So you've been looking into this comedy thing, the new hope, I guess, for the recording industry?
I have, and this week I've been specifically focused on supply.
Sort of supply and demand, I guess? What do you mean by the supply part of this?
By supply, I mean the comics themselves. So take Niraj Srinivasan. He used to play music. He's young. He's got this dark, curly, floppy hair. When I meet him, he's wearing jeans, and he has this Lucky Charms t-shirt.
Right, the cereal.
Right. And he looks like the kind of guy you would see in a Pabst ad or something like that.
Very Portland hipster.
Very Portland hipster. And I met him at an open mic here in Portland, where about 30 other performers took turns testing out new material. And for a guy like Srinivasan, he says part of the appeal of comedy is that, unlike being in a band, he doesn't need all the equipment, he doesn't need the connections of getting to know people, he doesn't need to be as plugged in to a clique.
But I feel like with comedy, you know, I can, you know, walk into any town, and if there's a room, ask for some time, and just, you know, with whatever the clothes I have on my back, I can get up and I perform.
This isn't a wig, it's a weave! No, it's definitely not. like Brody said, my name is Niraj, I'm 23 years old. Which means
basically, he just needs his jokes and a mic and an audience.
But I mean, is this something where he sees a future?
He totally sees a future, and he does for two reasons. The first is that Srinivasan says people listen to comedy in a different way than they listen to music.
The band, you know, you could listen to a couple of songs and kind of get an idea of what their music is like, you know, where they're coming from, what kind of story they're trying to tell. But with a comic, to truly appreciate and understand the performer, you have to be able to take in as much as they have to offer.
Do you hope to make money off this one day?
Absolutely. Every day, you know, I'm out after, you know, I do have a day job in the morning that, you know, I work every single weekday, and weeknights included, I'm out every single day at the open mics if I don't have a showcase, really just working whatever stage time I can come up with.
And so, Lizzie, what we're seeing on the supply side is a ton of new young comics hitting the club circuits in Portland and around the country for the reasons that Srinivasan listed.
So in other places around the country, back that up for me. Give me some other data.
This is really coming from anecdotal reports. There's not.
You mean there's no comedy census?
Yeah, there's no comedy census. Exactly. But from these anecdotal reports, and a lot of them are coming in newspapers and alt weeklies that are around the country. For example, in Philadelphia last year, the paper there, The Inquirer, wrote about a bustling new comedy scene. The same thing in Houston. And then there's San Francisco, Seattle, even Minneapolis. And then there are places like Miami where there's been a rash of comedy room closures, but you're still seeing smaller venues actively inviting comedy acts in. And those small clubs are important to developing young talent. So on the supply side, the actual number of comics that are kind of entering the workforce, if you will, it looks like there could be a generation's worth of comedic talent.
That's John Sepulvedo reporting for us from Portland. Thanks a lot, John.
Anytime, Lizzie.
You heard about the supply of new comic talent coming through the pipeline. Now we're going to talk about the demand side of that equation. Portia Sabin runs Kill Rock Stars Records. If you listen to Bikini Kill, Slater Kinney, or Elliot Smith, you've heard some of their music. And they've earned a reputation for going their own way and being out in front of the next cool thing. Now Kill Rock Stars is betting on comedy. Portia Sabin joins us from her office in Portland. Welcome to Marketplace Weekend.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell me why you guys decided to get into comedy in the first place?
Well, we've been comedy fans for years, and we have been talking about putting out comedy records for years. We had been. And what basically happened was we didn't know how to do it because our models were like Sub Pop, who had put out sort of some scattered comedy here and there, but they were kind of bigger people who'd already been famous. And we kind of didn't know. We were like, should we just call David Cross and say, hey, do you want to do another album with us? I mean, we just didn't really know how to go about it. And we, you know, we thought, because the other option is, you know, should we start putting out small up-and-comers from our hometown?
Yeah.
And the decision got made for us when we retweeted something that Kurt Brownoler tweeted. And then he immediately tweeted, oh my God, I just got retweeted by Kill Rockstars. My 14-year-old self is freaking out. And within an hour, I was on the phone with him and we were making a deal for a record because we were huge fans of his. And it's just taken off like that in this really organic manner. We keep getting contacted by people who we just love and who are sort of the next person that we would have logically reached out to ourselves. And they keep coming to us. So we're very fortunate at this time.
You guys have this stable of people. You've got Kurt Brownoler. You've got Hari Kondabolu. You've got Cameron Esposito. It feels kind of like the stable of people who you were working with as a music label when I think back to Bikini Kill. I feel like you kind of have this punk rock edge, but in the comedy world. Am I reading too much into that?
No, that's exactly what I think too. That's how it feels to me. You know, the label started 23 years ago with exactly that aesthetic. You know, we wanted to put out people who had something to say, people who were political, people who were making noise in the community. And so we did end up with a stable of really exciting artists like Bikini Kill, Bratmobile, Huggy Bear. And yeah, and so now the comedians feel exactly the same to me.
How have your comedy albums sold in the past year compared to your music albums?
Well, our two comedy releases that we put out in the last 12 months have sold better than all the other records we have put out in the last 12 months combined.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's pretty wild. You know, I'm sure everyone is familiar with how difficult things have been in the music business lately. But I didn't know if that was going to carry over to comedy as well. But it really doesn't seem to. And I think one of the reasons is because comedy is not seen as a singles format. When someone wants to hear a comedy album by their favorite comedian, they want to hear the whole thing. You know, it's sort of like getting back to the days of concept albums. You know, people actually wanted to buy it and sit down and listen to it from beginning to end. And I think that's really what's happening in comedy, because we definitely don't see a lot of the cherry picking or the, you know, maybe one song here, one song there that we would see with the regular albums we're putting out.
So no one's going out and saying, I'm going to buy this bit. They buy the whole thing.
Right, exactly. They want to hear the whole thing.
I'm curious if you've thought about why, you know, besides even just the single track phenomenon, why is it the comedy sells so well right now?
I think that the prevalence of podcasts has reached a lot of people. I think a lot of people listen to podcasts and a lot of people become familiar with people who would have been otherwise more obscure because of their podcast, especially like Cameron has two podcasts that she does weekly. And as a result, I think people have a taste for that. And I think people are get excited about comedians more. And also, I just think people are really hungry. I mean, I feel like it's the same as it was in the early 90s with the musicians. Like, people are really hungry for people who've got something to say, you know, people who've got an opinion and some thoughts about stuff. I think we've really had a period in the arts in America over the last few years of real docility, if you know what I mean. Everyone's just been sort of like, let's hold hands and sing songs that are nice and pretty. And, you know, no, like, where's the protest music? You know, where's the anger? And I feel like we've got a lot to be angry about these days. And the place where that's coming out seems to be in comedy.
I've got to imagine, being in the music business, you talk to people at other labels. Do you guys talk about, hey, maybe you should get into comedy here?
Well, I don't want to give anyone else the good idea of doing that. You know, I can't imagine we're going to be the only indie label that has thought this was a good idea. But right now, I'm happy that we are where we are.
Who's buying your stuff? What's your demographic?
In general, the demographic for our artists is older people over 30.
Hey, now, we're not that old.
Yeah, we are. some of us are. Maybe not you. but definitely me.
Portia Sabin, president of Kill Rock Stars, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks.